Speaking of being on the road, I'm kind of a guy that looks at, you know, we're just so bombarded when we're on the road with so many signs and so many advertisements and so, you know, so much data, so much information to look at. And one of the series of signs that kind of catch my eye are the ones that you see here. Have you noticed these? They're great big billboards that are for a hospital's emergency room. And everybody's doing this now. It's kind of the cool thing to do. I think if you have an emergency room, you make this great big billboard and you have this electronic piece that tells you how long that it takes to get seen in an emergency room. And so I got several pictures up here. The one in the upper left, Mercy West, it's, you know, 5 minutes wait time at the emergency room and so on. You see some other ones there that, you know, there's a 32-minute down in the lower left ER wait time, and it's an emergency room, right? You know, I think these are kind of funny. The one that really I thought was cool is in the upper right. It says up there the current wait time. It says, and there's a 30-minute promise, but the current wait time, you get it, is 60 minutes. So yeah, or 60. Yeah, they've already broken their promise. And these signs kind of make me laugh a little bit because I'm really not sure how this is supposed to work. You know, I can see me out in my garage doing some work and running my circular saw or something, and I run it over across my hand and I cut my hand open and I'm gushing out blood, you know, and Carla's not home, she can't help me, my neighbors can't help me, you know, so I get in the truck and I take off and where should I go? I got 5 minutes here, I got 32 minutes over here, you know, how's this supposed to work? How is that supposed to work? What is the purpose of these signs that we have these things up there? How, you know, I don't get how that is supposed to work. And I think, I do think for sure these signs are kind of funny, but I think there is kind of a lesson in here to me. Because I think when I am bleeding profusely out of my hand, that's not the time to start looking at the data to try to figure out which hospital's got the best turnaround time on when I check in there and when you can get me sewn back shut. And I think that is the lesson here. It is about me doing my homework beforehand. I need to have some sort of plan on if something would happen, where I'm going to go, which emergency room I'm going to use. I need to have thought through this a little bit before the accident happens. It is about being prepared. It's about preparedness. More on that in just a moment. There is a quote that I like, and I'm sure you've heard this before, and it goes like this. It said, it's talking about us. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. That's not at all what we are. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. I like that. That tells us a little bit more about the nature of what it is that we are doing here. This human thing that we are doing is just an experience. It's part of something bigger. And that ties in with what we've been trying to talk about here the last several weeks, is this human experience that we have is this road trip that we're on. Road trip religion. This experience that you and I are having is but a part of the big picture of who you and I are, because there's so much more that is beyond what we are experiencing here. There is more to just this simple road trip. And we've talked about things here. Some of the key things that we've talked about is there's many roads that are out there, but you and I, as followers of Christ, we believe are on the road that's going to lead us to the Father and lead us in a position that is joyful. And He receives us with open arms because we are forgiven. We have received Christ's forgiveness and we are at peace and at one with God. We talked a little bit about being on this road, this journey, this experience of being human, that there are rules to follow. God has given us some rules, and we find out what those rules and limitations and those regulations are by studying His Word. There are boundaries that we have along this way. He wants us to obey those things because that brings Him honor, and He knows it's also going to be good for us. And He tells us there's some things you probably ought to stay away from. Some things along this road, you shouldn't go down this turn. You shouldn't take this alley. You shouldn't make this left here. Because in those things, they may be harmful to you. Or they may be dishonorable to Him or unholy in His presence. Part of the journey that we've talked about. And then we talked a little bit about how God has given us his awesome GPS system, his Holy Spirit that guides our path. He is with us in person. If you are a believer in Christ, he indwells in us. And he is the one that is nudging us along into the right course and to steer away from the wrong paths. That is done through the Holy Spirit. And it's our responsibility to stay in connection with that. You know, just like the GPS on your, you got to turn it on and you got to put, you know, you got to follow it. Similarly, with this GPS that we have in the Holy Spirit, we got to connect. We talked about this, that there is a responsibility on our part that we need to pray and we need to be here and we need to be with fellow believers here. That's staying connected to this Holy Spirit that he has given us. And then most recently, we talked a little bit about what it means to be a steward of all it is that we've been given. We spent the last 3 weeks talking about that, all of this stuff that we have. And I thought it was really appropriate. Your bulletin talks about all of this that we have. God has given us every good gift. Every good gift that we have comes from above. And what are we doing with that? What are we doing with the manifold grace that God has given us? All our abilities, all our relationships, all the opportunities we have, the resources we have in regards to our money, our time, our talents. Are we using all that for his glory? Because there will be a time when he comes back and say, what did you do with all that stuff I gave you? What did you do with that? Have you been a good steward? And that's kind of where we've gone with this road trip religion series here a little bit about. It's taking something familiar like, you know, the road trips that you and I travel on and try to glean some truths and delve a little deeper into what it is about this human experience that we are having in regards to our spiritual being. How is it we are to be on this road? But here's the thing. Regarding this journey, regarding this road trip, may come as a shocker to you, but the road is going to come to an end. You're going to run across the sign that says, road ends soon. It will cease to exist. We are spiritual creatures who were meant for eternity, but this human experience, what we are experiencing right now, is going to come to an end. And inasmuch this, you know, this road trip is an awesome thing, it is going to come to a close. The short of it here is, I'm going to tell you straight up, we're all going to die. I mean, that's the end of the road. And most likely, if you are a human being, you're going to die. There it is. That's just where we're at here. And I got on the internet, so this has got to be true what I'm going to tell you next here. So it has to be. But I wanted to kind of figure this, I wanted to get some numbers here. You know, there's about, and this is probably pretty close, there's about 7.1 billion people that are alive right now on the earth. 7.1 billion. And approximately 108 billion people have existed since humans. I don't know how they figured that. It's on the internet. It's got to be true. Let's say that's right. 108. That's probably pretty close. 108 billion people have lived. So a little more than 100 billion people, if there's 7.1 that are alive now, 100 billion people have died. Just about all of them. There's a few. You could probably open up the Old Testament and you can read about maybe Elijah and Enoch and some of those guys where you can read there's some stories where they were taken, but chances are, if you were a human being before you were part of these 7.1 billion, you probably died. Death. It's inevitable. It is the end of the road. 105 people die every minute. That is just about 2 people every second. So I've been speaking here for 10 minutes. That would be about 1,000 people have died just since I've started. I'm so boring right now, some of you are thinking about that would be a good, no. Yeah, it is inevitable. This road trip comes to an end. Those people, every 2 seconds, their highway came to an end. They've moved from this temporary human experience onto their next, their eternal spiritual fate. And I kind of like the picture we have there because, you know, you can see the sign. You can see the sign, and we all know it. We all know this road's going to end, and if that is indicating that this life's coming to an end, and that's death, we all know it, but we can't really quite see where, because I can kind of see the highway going on up there, and I don't know when, and I don't know how long, I don't know how much time I have left. There's this unknown, but we know for sure it is going to happen. So I think it's appropriate for us to stop and take some time to consider that. What is the end of this road like? What happens when we die? And not just for us individually, but everybody's road trip is going to come to a conclusion as well. We are promised that Jesus is going to return. And what's that about? The end of this whole age, everybody's journey is going to come to an end. What is that going to be like? How will that happen? When will it happen? And so I think we're going to spend a few weeks talking about that, talking about we're on road trip religion here. Let's talk about the end of the road trip. What happens at the end of the pavement? Our songs we sang this morning, they may have sounded a little dirgy, a little funeral-like, and that was on purpose because those songs are they're all about death and the victory in death. And I wanted to have those on our minds and on our hearts to get some time to think about that a little bit. This end time, this thing that you and I have that we are all going to face, and the return of Christ and the end of all this age and how this human experience is going to wrap up. What's this going to be like? And I think this is the best time to talk about it. I think now is when we want to know that there is a plan. There is a plan in all of this. And for some of you, I'm not too insensitive to know that this is a topic that is way too familiar for some of you. It is very, it's very close. Some of you have experienced death of many people that are around you, and I know that. You have been around it. And for some, it's very raw. It's very fresh. We just lost a family member this week. And I realize that it is something that is very, it's very close to all of us. But the punchline here, if this is where we get down the road, I'll tell you the punchline to this whole message is that there is tremendous hope and joy in this end. It is one that is filled with greatness. This message about the end of the road is one that is very positive, and it's one that should not be feared, or it shouldn't be one where we think of it as being defeat, or it is one of loss. For us as followers of Christ, it's victorious. It is a great thing to look forward to. And I think it's smart that we don't wait till we are at the end of the road to consider what that road's going to be like. When I cut my hand up big time in my shop, now's not the time to get on the road and start reading the signs to find out how this is going to wrap up and who's got the best picture, which religion should I go to, which prophet should I follow. That's not the time. We should do this now. We do know that death is coming, but, you know, there is such an unknowing about it. What is it going to be like? What are the real ultimate implications? And because we're a people with curiosity and we want answers and we don't have them, I mean, it's tricky stuff, that causes some tension. And with that tension, then how do you respond? When we don't have all the answers here, how do we respond to that? And I think we can respond to it a number of ways. One, you just get scared. You know, I just get so fearful of death and what's next. And your lives, you know, people probably, their lives are just consumed by the fact that they have such a fear about death because they just, it's the unknowing part. Or there are people that just, and this I think is true for many of us, there's just a denial. You live a life and you just disregard the sign. You know, you go on not thinking at all that this is something that's going to happen in your life, and you just simply ignore it. It is very difficult to bear, and we can fear it. That's an option. And we can fear also the thought of Christ's return. When all this ends, the end of the age, you start talking about the second coming of Christ, a lot of people, you know, It is. It's easy to get fearful of that, and it's kind of in denial. Oh, it's going to be way down the road. No. I think what we'll find here, the punchline to all this stuff, I think it is so hopeful. It is so filled with victory. It is something that we, I hope, when we consider this, will shape our outlook. It'll change who we are, that we're not a people of fear. And not that we want to run off and die real quick either, but we know that what we have here is good, but what's coming at is so great that it really will change how we live out this life. So as we get into this, I think the first big qualifier that we do want to say is we just can't fully know. We don't know all of the details of what it is that's going to happen here. And part of that, I believe, I don't think we have the ability in this human experience. What we have here, I don't think can comprehend with what's next, because it's on a whole nother plane. It's just so big that we couldn't begin to get our minds wrapped around it. It's too magnificent and marvelous for this limited brain matter to be able to handle. Paul, in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, we call that the love chapter, and it's done a lot of times we do it weddings. You know the passage where it says love is patient, love is kind, and it's never boastful and envious. You know that passage. But down towards the end of that passage, there are some other things that Paul talks about that I think is spot on. When we start talking about these deeper things, this next realm that you and I will soon pass into, in verse 8 he says, but as for prophecies, about speaking about these things, about this guy standing up here, I don't really talk about prophecies, that's what we're talking about, speaking God's truth. That's going to come to an end. That will come to an end. As for tongues, being able to speak and glorify God, they will cease. As for knowledge, that will come to an end. For we know only in part and prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. I think what he's saying there, all of the stuff that we do here in regards to understanding God and this human experience that you and I are having right now and relating to God the way in which we do right now, we need to prophesy. We need to speak about it. We need to study it. We need to gain knowledge of it. That's all going to be gone because the next thing is better. That is just partial. And when we're in this next realm, when Christ returns, that partial is gone and we know fully that partial comes to an end. And down in verse 12, he says, for now, us, and this fits for us here as well, for now, you and I, we see in a mirror dimly, but then, after death, after the return of Christ, we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. I take that for us here, that in this now, we only can know partially. We can only see dimly. And so as we talk about the second coming of Christ, as we talk about the end of the ages, we talk about what happens when we die, it's only partial. We just have these pictures. We have these images. We have these snapshots of what the scripture will help us understand what that is about. We will not know completely. We just won't. But that's not to say that we can't study it a little bit and get an idea about what this will be like. What will it be like when our bodies and our souls are together? What is this whole next thing going to be like? It's difficult to fathom the supernatural. And by supernatural, I mean those things that are above and beyond what you and I know is the physical laws of space and time and energy, the stuff that we experience here, because we'll enter a realm that is supernatural. We'll be above that. And we have a hard time thinking about that now. And then the Bible does not provide every ounce of detail regarding these things as well. But it does help us a little bit have a notion about what we can see dimly now, but later we will see face to face. And what we can know in part now, later we may fully know. So regarding death, I heard this several years ago, and I remember the first time I heard it, it kind of made me, you know, do one of those, that death is really a gift. Yeah, that kind of shake your brain a little bit. You know, think about it, it's your birthday party and somebody hands you a gift and you take it off. You look in there and says, you're going to die. There's your present. But death can't be regarded as a gift. Let me explain. Humankind, humanity, we were created to be beings that lived forever. When God made Adam and Eve, there was no death. Those bodies that he made for Adam and Eve were eternal beings, and they were to be in his presence. That was the intention. Human lives, human beings that would live forever in his presence. But we know what happened. Sin caused us to be unfit for his presence. Adam and Eve succumbed to a lie and they broke God's simple rule. Don't eat of that one tree. Don't eat of that one. And they broke that rule. And because of that, they were unholy and not fit then to be in his presence. Still had this ability to live forever, but to not be in his presence. And so in Genesis 3, maybe the saddest chapter in the whole Bible, in verse 24, it says, He, God, drove out the man, Adam and Eve. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed there cherubim with a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. He put them out because they're unfit. They're unholy. They were holy. They were created to be in his presence where God would dwell with them. But because of sin, they're not fit to be in his presence. So he banishes them. They could have continued there, and the Bible says they could have stayed there, and they could have eaten from the tree of life, and they would have lived forever, but they would have been away from God. And God says just that in verse 22. The Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil," because that's the tree by which they ate. So he reached out his hand to take also from the tree of life. They could eat and live forever. He doesn't want that because he knows an eternal life separated from him is hell. And he knows that's where they're going to be. So this is where death becomes a gift. Verse 19 says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground." He's telling Adam, "For out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And so this is the gift that God actually gives to humanity, is death is going to allow the relationship to come back together. God is all about being in the business of restoration. That's what he intends to do. He is so in love and crazy about humans that he wants to be with us. He wants us to be in his presence. But unholy beings aren't allowed to be there. So he is about restoring us back to that dwelling place where we can be with him. And that's just what he does. How he does this to take care of the consequences of sins, he does by sending us his son. That is the story of the good news of Christ. He sent his son to come and to live and to die and to be raised to bring restoration to you and me by the forgiveness of sins. We have to be separated from him because of sin. And because of Christ, that is going to bring this back together so we can be in that originally intended relationship of being in his presence. It's a gift. And when I begin to consider death that way, that it is a gift to move me from this human experience of being separated from him to an experience where I will be with him face to face and where I can see him clearly, I become a more hope-filled person. God has something planned far better than this. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to imagine because a lot of this is really good. I got to hang out with my family all day yesterday on the lake and just doing stuff. And I didn't smile all day. My face hurts from just the goodness. There are some really good things about this human experience here. But God's got something far better planned for us. And that's when we are face to face with him. This life here, we see only in part. And some of that part is good, but there is something far greater. And that's what we are supposed to be. That's what you and I were created for, to be in a space and time and presence with him where he dwells with us. Like Adam and like Eve, I am banished from his presence because of my unholiness, and so are you. And to stay in this experience forever is not good. God intends all of his creation to be good, and for us to stay away from him is not good. And so death then, that gift that we open up and says, you're going to die, I begin to look at, yeah, I get it. That's a good thing. Ultimately, it's a good thing because I will be back where I am supposed to be. And that is far greater than losing something here. I'll miss my bass boat. I'll miss my new driver. I look at that again and say, yeah, but I'm going to be face to face with him. Ultimately, that gift is great. It's far greater, and this is hard, it's far greater than the hurt that we suffer here when someone close to us dies. That present, that death, is far greater than what we feel here. Even when that is the most toughest ones, those closest to us, like spouses and children, death ultimately is this gift where we are brought back into the presence of our Creator, and all of us as followers of Christ will be together without having to look through some veil where we can just see clearly and perfectly and know fully. I look forward to continuing to talk a little bit about death, what that means for us and what the Bible says about how that works for a believer, and to talk a little bit more about how these times are going to be wrapped up, how this age is going to come to an end. And I do this with the hopes that you and I will change and we will become more hope-filled in this, and that the world who so desperately needs real hope would see that in you and I. Pray with me.